I'm sat on the grass looking at a computer, and Sasha is standing above me doing a satellite seance. And the image is at 88%, and it's, you know, creeping up the screen. And I can see Portugal and Spain, and the UK is almost entirely obscured by a mass of swirling clouds on the left. And on the right, is the right the infrared image? On the right, it's kind of some of the same patterns, but it's all kind of pale grays and mid-grays, and you can't see any land. Or, oh no, maybe a tiny bit. It's beautiful. It's like a marble image.
Like
marbling, when you use water and oil and you get the kind of the swirls.
Oh, it looks like we're processing, so you see how it's kind of, it says building map. So now we're going to see a bunch of interstitial images made by the program as it decodes and works with the raw data.
Wow.
Which I always find super interesting.
It's amazing, you can see it working.
Oh. Yeah. And so it's going to start applying color to particular points or pixels that it reads as being ocean or cloud or land.
Wow. Beautiful.
I know.
It really feels like an analog film as well because of that banding on either side that looks like, yeah, a film reel.
Yeah. Okay, so now the image is complete. Mm-hmm. We're going to stop the... It's actually already waiting for the next satellite, so we're going to stop, which is in...
Just waiting. I'm here with Rosanna Lovell, and we're waiting for a phone call from Sasha Engelmann, who was the co-author of the piece that that we just heard. In the background, you can hear Apollo circling the moon. It's a recording from NASA's archives. And we'll just listen to that while we wait for Sasha to join us.
Nice to be on air with Dacha Berlin. And yes, I sat here on a hilltop in Stuttgart near a castle called Academy Schloss Solitude. And I have next to me a turnstile radio antenna, which looks like a kind of stick of metal with four crosses on a kind of top bit and four crosses on a lower bit. And I am, I have this antenna connected to a laptop in front of me, and the laptop has a piece of software called Cubic SDR software, which is an open source piece of software that actually allows me to pull in radio signals from this portable antenna I have next to me. And it is a very balmy and warm afternoon. We just got a kind of large amount of cumulus clouds that rolled over us on this hill, and it's very, very warm. And I am sitting on this hill speaking to you, and I'm about to do a satellite seance. So what I mean by satellite seance is I'm going to meet with, or kind of get in touch with, an orbiting weather satellite, which is called NOAA 19, and it is coming up from the south, going to the north. And as it crests the horizon in about 3 to 4 minutes, we are going to be able to start hearing its signal through my portable radio setup and the software that I use. And as I kind of decode, so I'm going to spend about 10 minutes, starting in 3 minutes, decoding a kind of image from this satellite path. So as the satellite is orbiting above me, it will be sort of scanning the Earth's surface line by line. And as it's scanning line by line, it will be taking readings of different kind of parameters from Earth, such as the amount of light reflecting off of Earth's surface or the amount of energy in warm cloud systems. And it will be kind of capturing all this data and encoding it into a carrier wave at 137.1 megahertz. And this information kind of encoded into this radio wave is what I'm able to capture with my antenna and what I'm able to then decode using the free software in front of me. So at the moment, I'll just turn this up a bit. Maybe you can hear that there is some basically white noise happening. And in a moment, we're going to, in about 2 minutes, we're going to start hearing the satellite transmitting over Stuttgart. So what I'm doing right now as I'm waiting for the satellite is I'm actually making sure that I have the frequency correctly tuned. So I'm looking at the Cubic SDR software, and I'm making sure that I have selected the 137.1 megahertz kind of frequency, and that I have the correct bandwidth selected. So that means the kind of like which of the signal that I want to capture with my antenna, which for satellites like NOAA 19 needs to be about 40,000 hertz. And I'm also just making sure, because I can kind of, I'm going to kind of describe to you what I'm seeing in front of me. I see a kind of waterfall display of the radio spectrum kind of unfolding live. And it looks a kind of like an ocean flowing down my screen. And I can see in this ocean the kinds of incoming signal traffic. And I'm now beginning to see sort of these faint tracings, almost like little dots and dashes sort of running down the waterfall display and becoming a little bit more clear as they run. And this is the kind of faint tracing or the signature of the satellite as it's beginning to crest the horizon now at 5:09. So we're going to start hearing the satellite sounds now. I'm going to turn up the volume on this. And let's see what we can hear. What is the sound of this satellite as it passes overhead? Okay, let me see what I can do. Turn it up a bit more. So I've turned up now the sound of the satellite signal coming through my free software, and listeners will probably begin to hear what this is. So it sounds sort of like it's a kind of grainy or textured kind of background, or like maybe a fuzzy background, but coming through now is the sound of the satellite, and I just moved my antenna, so there was a bit of a jump there. But what you will hear, what you are probably hearing now, is that there is a kind of tick-tocky sound and also a kind of tonal sound. And so this is the data that I mentioned earlier from the satellite that is encoded into a 137.1 megahertz carrier wave. And with the radio software that I'm using called Cubic SDR, I'm basically able to translate the electromagnetic information into digital and audible information. So that's why we are able to hear the sound of the satellite right now. you will probably notice now that the clarity of the signal has perhaps improved. I'm not sure if you can tell that from all of the different mediations that are happening with this piece of sound, but it has improved in clarity, and that's because the satellite has basically now reached its maximum elevation above me. So again, it started from the south and it kind of inched through the sky over me, and now it is to the east at about 40 degrees. And because it is perhaps closer to me and there are less obstructions between me and the satellite, the signal becomes much more clear. Now, in order for the signal to stay clear and to for the recording to really work, as you probably already noticed, I'm kind of manually holding this antenna with one arm, and I have to really be careful with the directionality of the signal. I need to track the satellite as it orbits above me. That means I need to know in advance where the satellite is orbiting from, what its maximum elevation will be, and I need to kind of do a good job of sort of feeling the satellite as it orbits over my location. So because I've done a lot of these satellite seances, I have practiced this a lot, so I kind of have an embodied memory of sort of how long it takes for the satellite to move from one horizon to the next. But always there are things that can happen and I can mess up. And there were two times earlier that I sort of dipped the antenna too low, and that was the kind of interruption that you heard before. And this experiment that I'm sort of performing for Dacha Radio right now is something that I learned how to do with a colleague and close friend of mine named Sophie Dyer. And Sophie and I launched a project earlier this year called Open Weather. And Open Weather is a sort of research and artistic and design project that probes the porous boundaries between our bodies, our local atmospheres, and weather systems, using, in particular, amateur radio, open data principles, and feminist tactics of sensing and seance. So really in Open Weather, we're really fascinated by the fact that one can sort of tap into the signals from orbiting weather satellites. And we're really looking and we're really trying to build new and perhaps diverse communities around both weather sensing and satellite signal decoding.
In southwest London, I feel the metal staircase beneath my feet, cold and textured. Being barefoot enhances the satellite image, changing the gain of my turnstile antenna, altering its frequency response. I have set up a satellite ground station in my flat. Its component parts are a laptop, free software, prone to glitching, and a turnstile antenna that I assemble before each satellite pass. We, the antenna I hold, my body, and the staircase beneath my feet, redistribute energy, produce interference patterns, create new images. We are more than a set of global connections. Tuned to 137 megahertz, we are a more than human antenna, a radiant body. The satellite image, a work in movement.
In southeast London, I frighten the pigeons, aiming a sculpture of metal at an invisible medium that I can sense in the cracks between power line and tower block. To receive is not to accept or to hold, but to relay a speed of light signal that has journeyed through tropospheric currents, steel, copper, and coil, sweat on palms. To receive is to will my body to be poised and present in ghostly kinship with the satellite's near and far infrared sensors, talking in waveforms to algorithms and indices, tracing clouds in the liquid crystals of a sunlit screen.
At this point in a satellite pass, we are nearing the end of the pass, and what I'm already able to see is an image of the Earth from space, an image that the satellite has transmitted to me. So as I've been speaking to you, I have been piping the audio from Cubic SDR, the radio software I mentioned earlier. And I've been sending that audio to a satellite image decoding software called Wix2Image, used by many amateur radio operators. And essentially, Wix2Image is taking this audio and it's decoding it into the raw data that the satellite has collected and that it has transmitted. And the leftmost channel, it's very high contrast. It's a lot of blacks and whites. And I can see clearly the outlines of land. I see clearly, for example, the outlines of Africa. And I can see the outline of Spain and France and Northern Europe all the way up to now the kind of bottom of Norway. And so I can really see the kind of like small gradations and the masses of cloud that are moving across Europe that are very, very warm right now. And so now it's been almost 11 minutes, and I'm beginning to lose the satellite. The signal is becoming much fainter. So it's slowly kind of, it's getting further and further away, and there's going to be a lot more static here, and it becomes fainter and fainter, and that's because the satellite is literally kind of reaching the northern horizon. So there are lots of obstructions in the way now between me and the satellite. And even if I hold my antenna like completely horizontally and point it perfectly, I will still not be able to receive the full transmission. And so because we're, because it's now very, very faint, I'm going to slowly bring the decoding session on my Cubic SDR software to a close. I'm going to also stop Wix to Image from decoding any more of the sounds, because now there's too little signal to decode. And I can rejoin the conversation with you over there at Deutsche Berlin Radio.
First question for you would be about the seance that we just took part in, and why do you use the term seance?
Yeah, so I use the word seance very liberally. In this particular instance, I was using it in its sort of widest meaning as a meeting between two bodies. So I would say the meeting was between me and the satellite, but also I think your bodies and your listeners who are tuning in. And it was just interesting to me as I was doing this seance, thinking about how, you know, I was basically catching this FM modulated transmission on a 137.1 megahertz carrier wave. And that was being decoded by the software in front of me, played out of my laptop speakers. And then you were picking it up through my microphone on my phone. And that was clearly being sent to you via communications radio relays. And then from your studio, you're now rebroadcasting all that information together. So there's so many mediations happening here between different frequencies, different parts of the radio spectrum, different bodies, different movements. different ways of encountering. And so I think we participated in a collective seance, really, because I think we all encountered each other, and we all kind of felt perhaps the movement of this distant body of Noah 19 as it passed over. Now, I do often do a performance with my collaborator and friend Sophie Dyer in open weather, and this performance is called The Satellite Seance. And in the particular performance context of that work, we really draw on perhaps a narrower meaning of the word seance. So we're really interested in the archives of Anton Mesmer, which Sophie has been able to access at the Wellcome Collection in London. And we're also really intrigued by histories of the spiritist movements and the seances that women were doing in the 19th century, sort of in their living rooms with guests who they would invite over to sort of access alternative worlds and the voices of the dead and different kinds of experience in very spectral realms. So in the performance that is called The Satellite Seance, Sophie and I read a kind of spoken word poem, which includes within it fragments from the Anton Mesmer archive and from our research on the spiritist seances. And we kind of bring this sort of history of seances and different kinds of meetings in different kinds of spaces. And we bring that into a kind of friction with the very technical process of decoding an image from a satellite. So to answer your question, seance means a lot of things for us. But I think we just did one together. And we also, I think you and I and Kate and Sophie, we also share interests in perhaps alternative histories of sensing and these spaces in the early days of radio where different people had different kinds of power and different codes were developed and different kinds of access to other worlds were made possible.
Experimenter addresses his former collaborator, the Swiss parapsychologist Professor Gebhard Frey. Beset by doubts, the experimenter begs Professor Frey to give his name, and a voice answers, Frey.
Frey. Frey. Frey.
Then, in Swedish and German, Du sowas. Willst nicht glaube. You are sleeping. You do not want to believe. The voice of an entity whom the experimenter does not know, but who calls herself Agnes, a helper, probably remarks here on unfavorable recording conditions. Agnes, furchtbar slickt. a voice calls James Joyce. The following sentence, heard at the end of a recording session, indicates that the voice entities have their own transmitting stations. Wat nun, gute Nacht von Citadi. Russian and German. Now good night from Citadi.
So the spirit slate in the traditional seance was two pieces of slate, otherwise blank, that would be kind of pressed together. And when opened, there would be inscriptions or traces made by spirits from different worlds or alternative realities. And I always thought that this spirit slate is a nice kind of alternative name for the raw satellite image data that I was just describing to you. Since the way the data materializes in its raw form, it actually comes in these two symmetrical channels in grayscale, one darker, one lighter, that look very much like two pieces of slate or marble. And as they kind of materialize on the screen, you know, clouds and weather systems and ocean currents trace across them, much like these were inscriptions from another world. Now, I want to be clear that what matters to us in engaging with these events of extended or collective sensing is not that, you know, groups like the Spiritists actually came into contact with other worlds or with the dead. Rather, what matters for us is the particular kinds of spaces that were crafted in terms of who could populate these spaces and who had power in these spaces, what tools and codes were invented there. And what also matters to us is that the women leading the seances sometimes claimed they could exercise a level of knowledge or prediction about events on different parts of the planet, including, for example, they claimed they could see or even predict the fates of long-lost explorers buried in the Arctic ice sheets or expeditions on their way around the world by ship. So, the kind of power of remote sensing and prediction has historically been associated with dominant ruling figures and institutions, and this continues to be the case today. But we think it is quite significant that illiterate women in the 19th century commanded some of the same powers and were even called upon by governments and politicians to kind of share their foreknowledge and predictive talents.
Thank you. For the medium to enter the sensible range. Electromagnetism, the medium and its agents.
The medium is susceptible of producing the following phenomena.
Sight through opaque bodies.
Sight at a distance.
Sight into past and present events.
Sight into the future.
Whether we are consciously aware of it or not, we are often touched by bodies far removed from us in space and scale. Some of these bodies carry messages about the weather.
Tonight, we will seance a satellite. Through its mediumship, we will conjure the weather.
So, this is a tuning fork, which is allowing us to sense the medium. And the medium has crested the horizon and is traveling north at 43 degrees to the west. And if we're lucky with the full moon, we might even be able to see it as it passes over us. So I invite you to try to look for it. The satellite we will seance is NOAA 18, a weather satellite launched in 2005, locked into sun synchronous orbit. NOAA 18 orbits every 101 minutes. Several times a day, it passes over Stuttgart. As it crests the horizon, its transmission agitates the ether. It touches our bodies, as well as the bodies of non-humans and the elemental bodies of sea and of earth.
If we are to seance this satellite, we will need to amplify its transmission as it passes over.
So we're going to pass the amplifier, this tuning fork that I'm holding between us. And I invite you, when you're holding it, to try to feel what the medium is sending us. So we pass this amplifier between us. Adjust the angle to tune to the medium. When you do, you may witness phenomena of lucidity. You may feel moonstruck.
As we amplify the message of the satellite medium, we listen to its frequencies. They may be interference created by our mobile phones, laptops, or other radiant bodies. The images we conjure will carry traces of these bodies, our location and movement.
Hail!
Electromagnetism, the medium and its agents.
The tuning fork is helping us here. This is Wes.
But it's not moving, but it's flickering.
Oh, yes.
That's a message through the electromagnetic spectrum. That is like a sort of invisible ocean that we're constantly swimming in. And the medium chooses one part of that spectrum and encodes a sound into it. So the sound we're hearing is the sound that has been encoded into this little piece of the
from the north.
Like if it's straight above is 90?
Yeah.
Zero?
The 43 off the top of the horizon. Yeah.
medium is about, 3/4 of the way through. It's about to leave us. The medium has left the sensible range. So we might want to have a look at what the medium has transmitted to us, which I am just put the amplifier on the ground.